Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light, and I want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at resonanttruth.com. Today on the Zolk'in count is called Red Galactic Skywalker, and it is the eighth day of the White World Bridger wave spell. And it is also the Galactic Moon, day 18. And it is also a rapidly approaching full moon, which I think has the greatest influence at the moment, actually, just as we see the night sky illuminated, we can rest less. And then all the tidal changes that accompany a lunation cycle, the intensification around full and new moon, are affecting us as well. And I just wanted to make sure everyone is remembering that. Seems to me that the full moon, you know, its apex of maximum light, it's like 3, 4, and 5 days. So I'm coming at it from the very front end. It's approaching full. It isn't. But just in the astonishment of, you know, it really is an odyssey to go into the space of so much brilliant night illumination and the disruption to sleep cycles and the lunacy that accompanies the time and this tidal fluctuation that happens in the body, in our bodies, because we are so fluid, made of so much water. And it's affecting me, but I'm excited because it's also this absolutely beautiful feature. I heard somebody using the analogy, well, they were just saying that, like, is there ever a sunrise that isn't beautiful? Is there ever a sunset that's not beautiful? I mean, of course, there are variations where they're not epic, but, like, is there ever one like, oh, that was a terrible sunset. I was really disappointed. There are certain things that are just always enough, and so the full moon is an example of that to me. I also sort of let the Mercury retrograde come and go without as much proclamation, in part because I'm right in the nexus of the retrograde doing a renovation. It's a sweet time to pull that off. I managed to travel in an older car 800 miles during the shift from Mercury retrograde into Mercury direct last weekend, and I thought that was kind of cool. It made me feel that there's another lesson I needed to learn that wasn't mechanical failure. In the Mercury retrograde time proper, the check engine light went on my car and I couldn't really figure out what to do about it. That's why I was a little trepidatious to travel. But instead, the day before I left, it just went off. And I just thought, it's just so perfect. It's just a friendly, you know, heads up for the retrograde, but it wasn't any kind of terrible backsliding into communication failures, breakups, or costly mechanical repair. So it was a good retrograde, and it still is a bit retrograde. For some of us, we have another 10 days or so, but it came and went without me acknowledging it. And then, these are, like I said, the surround of natural time is natural instances that happen in our time. So the moon, the retrograde, I think that's a wrap. I think that's it. First thing I want to point out is that it's the galactic day in a galactic moon. Just reminding you that the moon is our word for month. All our months in natural time are 28 days long, and there are 13 months in a year. If you were to shave all the Gregorian months down to February size, you actually could create a 13th month, which is so cool. Like, it's hard to believe that 11 months of 3 days, two or three days added on to the end of it actually creates another 28 days. And that's exactly the math. My dog is really snoring hard. Maybe we could stop that. Stop. Okay, so it is the galactic moon, the eighth moon of 13. 13 moons in the year, each 28 days long. It starts July 26 every year. Mayan year always starts on July 26. We are well past mid-year rather than in some kind of beginning stages of this year called 2021. Well, we're at both, but our focus is more on being well into a year that is shaped like a wave, so it builds to a peak and then breaks. And the trajectory we are on is there are only two moons and a little bit left in this climbing ascendancy, trying to get to the sun, you know, like Icarus. Like, we're just going to try to get all the way up off this planet in flight, a human dream, a human dilemma that we can't. And then at some point in the 10th moon of 13, we will be held here, unable to actually escape. And that is the time in any wave spell of 13 when there's this kind of push-pull of like, oh, I can't go any higher. I'm also as high as I've ever been. So it's really exciting that we're so giant that we have amassed such a distance from like the place we started. We can see so much, we can claim so much, we kind of own what we're on top of. We can see progress, we can see productivity. And it's just, it is a giant celebration of growth. And it's an overcoming of what's challenging. We're growing because we're sort of risen up on the thing that was a stumbling block for us. We've made it over and above it, but it's included in everything that's beneath us. In our particular journey within a wave spell, we are lifted up by the thing that has been a blockade and obstacle. But we are also stopped from growing further when we get to the 10th moon or the 10th day of a wave spell. And I'm mentioning all this because it came up in conversation with a client in a reading, but it's something that I think we can have a certain amount of preparation for when we're in our 13 moon arc. Like, we don't need to have future anxiety. We don't need to even future project. The whole point of following a calendar with all this richness, detail, magic, synchronicity is to keep us in present moment with excitement, with our imaginations unleashed. But I just feel when we move through some of these, I feel it even in the 13-day wave spell, and we're in the galactic day of a 13-day wave spell as well as the galactic moon of a 13-moon wave spell. We're in the eighth tone in both calendars. And so you can feel the same kind of anticipation in our 13-day wave spell, just like we're about to really make a pitch here for our peak. Honestly, when we're in the solar day or the solar moon, the ninth of 13, we're only thinking about getting to the sun. you know, like in a metaphoric way, all we're doing is just trying to get that thing that is ultimate for us, you know, that shiny object, the inspiration, the deity, whatever the sun means to you in the moment of hitting the solar tone. You aspire for it. You're on fire for it. You're in communication with it. You're speaking your wishes, your truth, your appetite, your longing to be heard. And it's all an energy rush. It's not like any of us, we don't sit around in the solar tone and make lists and reason out our path for ascension. Instead, we're just pulsing fire. It's a jittery, burning anxiety. Not anxiety, super nervous, but like just a rush. It's a rush. It's a fiery blaze in our being. And it's what propels us for this last burst of growth. And then we do plateau. So I just think, even though we have another 10 days in the galactic moon, and of course we have all day in the galactic, the day of Red Galactic Skywalker, just know that there's always this big fiery moment of the solar tone followed by this dulling, not immediately dulling, but it is hitting. It's hitting sort of the brakes, the skids, the limit of our growth toward the sun, our fiery, like, rocket ship, shooting star energy is blunted. And at the same time, this solar tone got us so high that we can really remark on where we arrive. When we can't go any higher, we have arrived at quite a peak. So in this galactic moon, like I have been saying, in the resonant and galactic moons, there's a lot of spaciousness. There's a kind of pause in the action. There is a different kind of growth taking place, but it gets really active shortly. Really active. And even in the spectral moon, the 11th of 13, when the wave breaks, that takes a lot of focus. It's a disruption. It's chaotic. And it's a real change of direction. We're used to aspiring, but just chaos and falling back to Earth is not really aspirational at all. It's more evocative. We have to just bear with the tumult, the change, the release of tension, the return to Earth. And then things calm and the action is diffused again into a resolution in the crystal moon. And then the cosmic moon is very open and empty in a positive way. So that's the year ahead of us. I don't know why. Maybe because of COVID, like not consciously, but maybe we're just like, hey, everyone. They're talking about everyone being vaccinated by the end of July. Code language. Mayan Oracle code language. The end of the blue lunar storm year will be when we have finally had enough people vaccinated that we can go outside again or what have you. Also, I don't talk about Biden as much as Trump, which is great. None of us do. And that's awesome. But Joe Biden is a lunar person. He's a white lunar world bridger. It is his wave spell. It is a lunar year like himself. We each get a year. You should find out when your year is, counting it forward or backward to figure out when was last the same tone for the whole year as your tone. So I like that in the lunar year, Joe Biden's time, he got elected president. Finally, he finally had his breakthrough, his moment to arrive in his destiny in the White House, Oval Office. He did it. It's very stormy of him. And he's pretty busy in his lunar energy. He's gotten a lot done and has a plan for it to complete in his time, in his lunar time. So there's a, let's pivot to White World Bridger, the wave spell. Did a lot of talking about it in a session today, and so I would have to come up with some new information just to keep my own brain activated and make sure that I, capture some of the strongest impressions it's making on me right now. And here's one. I am in a good mood. I like the death of limitations. I had this really difficult Red Skywalker, I guess it was like a self-evaluation, and it was also just a witnessing of mood and tonality shift in myself. So here it is, Red Galactic Skywalker, and I'm like, oh, I remember the Red Skywalker wave spell. That's a big part of a galactic day, is looking backward and integrating the wave spell that's behind us with the wave spell we're in now. And that would make maybe you would recollect it. You would think about what happened in the Red Skywalker wave spell. You'd be thinking about it through this prism that we talk about here. Or you'd be accidentally thinking about it, like today. You would just accidentally be thinking about, 10 days ago, a couple weeks ago, all that stuff that was going on. And that's how my day has been. Actually, in the resonant day yesterday, yellow resonant human, I was really aware of how in the Red Skywalker wave spell, I just had this epiphany that I was just I didn't like myself at all. I mean, just I was becoming a really unpleasant person, and I can't really figure out why that's a Red Skywalker thing. So I won't try. I had a sense that it was because I had stopped being nice and generous and kind the way that people are in the Southern California place that I lived, which is a very vacation town, beachside, laid-back place, full of feminine energy. And I just recently was back there at the beginning of the White World Bridger wave spell, and I like soaked up all that kindness, generosity, and extroversion, and warmth, and compassion, and I got it, like crammed it into my all the parts of myself, so that I can actually feel. I'm not an unkind person who's selfish and egotistical. And again, I don't know what about Red Skywalker, if anything was there, but I think in the White World Bridger wave spell, which is where this little anecdote began, there's a lot of freedom. And the freedom to me is kind of what I need to not be defensive, to be wound up, holding on. I think what's behind all those behaviors is control and fear, and it's an inability to let go. Like, I'm unkind because I'm uptight. But in the White World Bridger wave spell, we are shown, given ways, there's an ambience around of letting go, dying. At worst, and so sadly, so frequently right now with the pandemic, people are dying, but in the teaching of actual death is a practice for letting things end that are over, that their time has passed, letting things pass, not picking it up every thought, and not giving voice to every feeling, but just letting there be spacious emptiness, absence. And when the world bridge is open, the one that we, I guess, pass through to get to the afterlife, it really gives us a lot more space. doesn't it? You know? If there's only this world, it's pretty cramped. That's how we feel on a planetary day. Like, what? Planetary? That's just where I am. Like, that's just the earthen territory. You're taking away, you know, where the sun lives in the sky. You're taking away outer space, the cosmos. It's so grand, all the different tiers of heavenly habitats are no longer accessible on a planetary day. We are stuck here gravitationally. This is where we are in our incarnation, in life on Earth. And but like White World Bridger shows us the depth and breadth of an afterlife experience, an alternative life experience, a perception that includes those who have passed, ancestors, and the World Bridge is open right now. So I like it. I like the World Bridge being open. I have to say, a story that's, it's just so lucky, you know, people die in White World Bridger, the wave spell. We can say, some people don't die, like Tiger Woods. He had a horrendous accident. It could have killed him, and it didn't. But that near miss, I have a version of that. I was picking up some kind of metal siding trim at Home Depot, delivering it to my builder, and I don't really have the right vehicle for a lot of big, long items. So I tied it pretty well, and then I drove home, and it all broke and blew off on the freeway. And that's terrifying, right? Because then it's all in the road, and people are driving around it or driving over it. And I was like, I have to get it off the road, which wasn't really the right idea. I should have just kept driving, but I'm sure I was financially motivated to try to salvage it. So I pull over, I go to try to get it out of the road. It is rush hour. It is not like in the middle of the freeway. It's in the lane that's an off-ramp lane. So I'm trying to get it, but people are not paying attention, because who does pay attention with all the podcasts and, you know, looking at your phone? And somebody actually passed me. I was very close to the edge of the lane, just grabbing these pieces, and they were so out of it that they like screechingly passed me, putting me, like they were on the shoulder of the road, of the freeway. So they were coming by me, and then there was me, and then there was the freeway flow of traffic. It was so terrible that I can't express it now. It was just a nightmare. And then even in there, I could blame myself for being the idiot who was standing on the freeway edge. And so I turned to go back to my car. My car is rolling into the freeway with two of my dogs in the back of it. It's a terrible story to tell, because I do not look responsible in the storytelling. This is the indication of what it is like to be physically busy doing home renovation all the time. Like, I'm not sane or grounded or particularly healthy. So anyway, that was like dying. And it wasn't. I didn't die. I don't mean like, what is dying? It wasn't like passing from one place to another. It was like looking death in the eyes and surviving. And maybe that's a White World Bridger thing, me and Tiger Woods. Or maybe it's that other, it's both. It's also just being in the World Bridge. Like, in some part of our life, we're passing from something that's stopping to something that's starting, or something that's beyond stopping, meaning it's eternal. It doesn't think in terms of stop and start. It's always. So we're either passing from fixed ideas about time and life into the freedom of having none of that, or we're feeling something concrete, quote unquote, end, and something new comes after it. I'm just so wrapped up thinking about the freeway thing. It's a very like humiliating story to almost be, I mean, to be at risk and feel so physically vulnerable and realize that you instigated that vulnerability. It's a hard thing to share about. So I'm tempted to rewind this. But I do like to bring up like the danger of White World Bridger, you know, that why I go through White World Bridger, the wave spell, cautiously, the well, not today, clearly, but like the idea is that I'm kind of like, oh, this is a wave spell of death. I'm going to be kind of careful to see if I can make that the metaphor of death instead of a death. But it's the tension builds and it's kind of a parallel to retrograde where I'm like, it's not a great time to take a trip, try to talk about my relationship with someone. White World Bridger is a good time to be sensitive to the vulnerability of us actually to losing our lifetime here. All right, what I think is helpful, and I rarely give enough time to, and I haven't left much time here, is to just talk about the days. Because if you're new, maybe it'll help just hear about the days to come. So it's really important to notice that today is a galactic day and a galactic moon. So it's a doubling of energy. It's called Magic Turtle Day for some reason. On a Magic Turtle Day, there's always a doubling of the tribe or the tone, connecting the 13 moon year with the 13 day wave spell, and sometimes the year itself. That's, for instance, blue lunar storm. We could have a Magic Turtle Day that's lunar or a blue storm day. So it's Red Skywalker looking backwards at the wave spell that was and the theme of the Red Skywalker. So pay attention today in your memory bank. And then tomorrow is solar, and I think you got the message on solar. It'll be White Solar Wizard. And White Wizard is a time of timelessness. And in timelessness, we can't really be good at doing things in a timely manner, but it's more complicated than just being inefficient. It's the absent-minded professor day, because White Wizard is very much the shaman that doesn't deal, the shaman's tent where we retreat is outside of society. So when we are celebrating White Wizard, the shaman, we're in the tent. We are not out in society. We are timeless. We are able to work with enchantment. We don't get caught up in rationality or reality. And so that stuff can slip through our hands. The planetary day in this case is Blue Planetary Eagle, and it's day of manifestation. It's the highest peak of the wave spell. So other than what I already told you about that, just know that you're gonna have your sort of greatest accomplishment and learning about White World Bridger on the peak day, Blue Planetary Eagle. That would be already Saturday. So that's right. And then Sunday, I mean, I never podcast in the morning at this point, but I will tell you then that it'll be Yellow Spectral Warrior on Sunday, so you can anticipate that. So our span of days coming up are tomorrow's White Solar Wizard, and then Friday, that is tomorrow's Friday. Saturday is Blue Planetary Eagle, and Sunday is Yellow Spectral Warrior. And I actually think these day signs are manageable for people. If we talk about what White Wizard is, Blue Eagle is the bird and all bird life, and also the celebration of our minds, our intellect, our visioning that comes from our keen eyesight, just the upper chakras, the upper organs of our body, our mind, our eyes, our brain. So, yeah, that's about all I have time to say about it. I just think it's helpful for you to hear those names and to have some associations start to percolate. Hopefully you have an app, some way of following the calendar. You have a physical calendar, and you can get what these day signs are as they arise and let the day teach you about the day sign. You know, you can read a bit, but it's through living the calendar that we learn the calendar. That's makes you the center of your own experience spiritually and educationally. Hey, I'm Lisa Starr. I am another yourself, and in Mayan we say, in Lakish.